what I'm yep. saying.
Josh just said there's only room for two more.
Yeah,
I'm
just
going to
send another card back because I
I'm doing fine. Yeah,
time will tell.
Yes.
Very true.
At this time, I'll call the regular Macon County Board Finance Committee to order. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Here.
Deborah Kraft.
Here.
Kevin Greenfield.
Here.
Jim Gresham.
Here.
Greg Mattingly.
Here.
Laura Zimmerman.
Here.
Helena Buckner. Helena Buckner. You have 6 of 7 quorum present.
Thank you. Next, I'd entertain a motion on the prior meeting minutes.
So move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Has Helena Buckner joined?
Yes, ma'am.
Your vote on the minutes?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Claims. Any discussion on the claims? Entertain a motion.
I moved forward. The claims as presented.
Second.
Motion in a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Audit Subcommittee. Carol, please.
No report for the audit subcommittee, but I do have the audit stuff. A couple months ago, I have a resolution ready to go here. A couple months ago, we were informed by our software provider that they would not support the payroll application after next July. And so we're like, great. What their recommended solution was to outsource payroll, which would cost us about $40,000 to $50,000 a year. And so we went to different places and look to see if there's other vendors, other providers of software that we felt would do justice for us. And we have 5 quotes. 2 of them didn't have any counties in Illinois. 1 was over $100,000, and the other one was our current provider. So the 5th one is MIP Fund Accounting, and we've talked to them. We've seen several demonstrations on their software. And it's kind of middle of the road. There are other counties in Illinois that have it, Tazewell, Vermilion, Kankakee, which are similar sized. So we feel it's a very solid product, and I have a resolution for up to $73,000. $69,000 would be the cost that we know of. Software is $23,000. The training is what takes up most of the cost, and that's about $44,000. And then we'd also be in the cloud, so we would not have an ongoing purchase a new server in the next couple years. We will not need to do that. So my resolution is to allow us to go to a different software accounting package, and we will get right on it if we can do that. Jim?
Yes. How long is, like, Tazewell or these other counties, how long have they been
on? Some of them have been there for quite a while. Okay. Tazewell, I believe, has been there a while. Kankakee, they're using the accounting portion but not the payroll portion, so some they've not always been on board with that, but it's MIP is a strong brand out there.
Okay.
So I feel that it's other counties have, and I've talked to a couple of them, they feel it's fine.
One more question. Mm-hmm. On the money, the source of the money. Mm-hmm. Is that money that we've already received, or that you anticipate that we will, or
the source of the money to fund this would actually come from the lease fund,
yeah,
which is what we accumulated surpluses in the lease fund the last 4 years in order to do the recycling center, and so since that has not happened, there's extra money there. We will probably also reduce the levy for next year since we know the recycling thing's not happening. But there's still excess funds in there which could go for this, which is a legitimate reason.
Okay, thank you.
Under the lease fund.
Carol, does the cloud-based fees, there's no annual fee?
It's like $1,500.
Okay.
It's pretty minimal.
Carol, we just went through a bad deal with the computers deal with. Are we sure that this works?
I can't be 100% sure, but I'm pretty confident since other counties use it. And I mean, unless they would tell us tomorrow they're not going to support it again in, 2 years. But it's been around a long time, and I think that they're currently updating it every year, so.
I mean, I think that's they talked with other counties on the other deal, and they said it. But I don't know if they actually went out and seen it or looked at it or.
We've had several demonstrations. I mean, I think it will work for us for the future. I mean, I just assume that they're going to keep supporting it. I don't know how else to guarantee that.
Carol, will the training be in-house? Will there someone come here, or will it be?
It'll be mostly remote.
Remote.
Yeah, it'll be remote.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
So moved.
I'll second.
A motion and second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
I hope this works. Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Red Mattingman.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
The only other thing, Mr. Chairman, I have is that last month, and I don't know how recently I've reported the sales tax numbers, but as of the June numbers, which we have, we received 89.5% of the June sales tax that we normally would. So I feel things are coming back a little bit. We planned on 90% for the next couple months and then 95% by the end of the year. So if things stay on track like that, our estimated shortfall of sales tax will be about $300,000. Then there's also some circuit clerk fees and things that are down also, so it'll be more than $300,000, but I don't anticipate it being over $500,000 loss for the year. So that's kind of where we are now.
Any questions?
That's all I had. Thank you.
Board review. Kim?
Thank you, Chairman. For the Board of Review, I have no report this month. They usually start picking up after we publish. For the Supervisor of Assessments, we're scheduled to publish the 2020 assessments on October 10th. So once that happens, the Board of Review will pick up. The Herald and Review, they require us to turn over information 3 weeks prior to publication. So that time frame gets a little burdensome when you're trying to crunch the numbers and get everything finalized. But other than that, we're on track to publish October 10th. And then for GIS, I have no report for this month either. Yes.
Is there an alternative to the Herald and Review?
That is what I would like to start exploring with some of the other counties. And there's specific statutes that we have to use certain papers of certain publication and target groups, like circulation, basically.
Okay.
And so I'm going to explore that to see if we have some more options, because pushing it 3 weeks out, it just doesn't give you a whole lot of time.
Oh. Posted on Facebook the night before. You get more audience.
Yes, yes. And we put it on our website.
Yeah.
And so that, I think that gets more attention than the Herald and Review does. And they're no longer publishing on Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
So now we're going to move our publication to Saturday, which is going to, I'm sure, circulate a lot of phone calls for us as well.
Now, given the status of print media these days, they're probably, going to have to be some change somewhere about how we can do this.
Yes. And it's costly. I mean, the cost of it, I could have another staff. And so it's hard on our staff to see those kind of numbers being thrown.
Mr. Baggett, what is the ramification if we don't put it in the Herald and Review and we put it in the Tribune or something?
Well, without... I don't know if this is...
Yep.
Is it? Okay. Without reading the specific statute that's applicable to the Board of Review, I can't say exactly what that statute requires in terms of circulation numbers. A lot of publication requirements that are mandated by statute use a generic term saying that it has to be published in a newspaper in general circulation within the county, which would include the Tribune. But given the nature of what Ms. Fowler is doing, there may be a statute and with respect to the Board of Review that's a little bit more specific that requires a wider circulation than what the Tribune may have. I'd be happy to look into that with her to see if she has any options. But I know in other instances, I have advised county officers to use the Tribune over the Herald and Review because we don't need to go with something as with as wide a circulation as the Herald and Review to be compliant with the statute. Obviously, as the committee is indicating here, you're well aware that the requirement that's in state law that we publish in a paper is not necessarily, in this day and age, meant to have the same effect as it did when the statute was first adopted. Most people hear about things in alternative manners from the newspaper. It's not an effective way of notifying the public anymore, but the statute's been on the book for 100 years, and we still have to live with them. As far as to answer your direct question, Mr. Greenfield, the effect, if the statute requires that these types of notices be published in a paper with a circulation as wide as the Herald Review, we have to comply with that statute regardless. It's an unfunded mandate, but to not be compliant with it would risk opening the county up to significant exposure.
You two could look at that. That'd be great. I mean,
we certainly will.
Sure.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Questions? Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
Treasurer, Mr. Yoder.
I have one resolution this evening, Macon County Board resolution to execute deeds to convey property in which taxes were delinquent.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Crabb.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Elena Buckner. Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else, Ed?
Nope.
Thank you. Citizens' remarks. Old business?
I did not receive any.
Okay. Any old business? New business? Workforce investment? Rocky?
Good evening. I'm Rocky Wilkerson with Workforce Investment Solutions, and I'm here this evening to get your approval on a $98,500 grant that Workforce received from the Community Foundation. So it was kind of exciting to get this grant because this grant is not tying us up the way the federal funds do. We get to do be a little creative with this money. Some of the things we hope to be able to do is some of the people that are not eligible for our programs, that are working full-time, single moms, working as CNA. We just had one recently that got accepted to Milliken's RN program. She made $2,000 a year more than what? If she would have been eligible for Workforce, we wouldn't have been able to help her. But through this other pot of money, we're going to be able to help her with her tuition. And then we're going to run a class at the Oasis and start providing some pathways for the homeless as well. So I'm excited to have it, and I'm asking for your approval.
Move to approve.
Second. How did this all come about? Did you just feel them out on this thing, or
Natalie Beck approached me and asked me if I had any creative ways to use the money for employment opportunities, and I immediately thought of the population that we can't serve based on those strings
just
to the
marginal,
federal
like they're just, you know, that's great.
So, yeah, I was excited about it.
It's wonderful.
Any other questions?
We have a motion in a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Tara Zimmerman.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Sheriff, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two resolutions. The first is the Maine County Board resolution for the intergovernmental agreement between Maine County Sheriff's Police Services for the Village of Long Creek. This is basically the same agreement we always have had this year, but it changes as far as dispatching fees that the county will be reimbursed as far as the cost of service out there as far as the dispatching.
Any discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. The second one is the Macon County Board resolution approving a renewal and revision of the licensing agreement with the Macon Conservation District for their firearms range. Basically what that is to do some improvements for the county range we actually have out at Helvetti Road.
Tony, is there any cost to that, to the county?
It's as far as the sheriff's office, no.
Perfect, well thought.
Yeah.
Yep.
Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
State's Attorney, Mr. Baggett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one resolution for the committee this afternoon. It's a resolution giving us permission to dispose of surplus equipment, computer, and other peripheral devices to computers that are either obsolete or broken.
Entertain a motion or discussion.
Where are you going to get rid of them at, Mike?
I'm not exactly sure how that plays out. I just get the approval. Someone else handles the other.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you can take them to the recycle thing. That
that may be something we explore.
You may want to give Nick a call.
Yeah. Move to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Elena Buckner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. No need for a closed session. Next regular meeting is 9/28/20. We start budget hearing number 3 on 9/8, day after Labor Day. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Actually, you can go ahead and throw that out there if you want.
All right, thank you.
Second.
What was that?
What was that all about?
You
need
to adjourn. I really hit on you. Sorry about that.
Bye, Rocky.
Bye.
Hey,
Rex.
Talk to him.
Yeah. Funny how things change.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a win.
I know we had a comment.
Yeah.